It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Lovers, you're tuned into Film Sociology, Film Talk Show, WFYI 90.1 HD2 The Point, Minneapolis. We are available as a podcast on iTunes Monday afternoon. You can check out the blog at filmsociology.tumblr.com. Matthew Sozi is away, kind of on assignment today, and standing in, a regular guest, Abdul Hakim Shabazz and friends.
Where's my opening?
I was looking for that, and I couldn't find the...
Come on, the black guy shows up, he doesn't get his opening. See, the conspiracy started already. We're only, 2 minutes into the show.
Hang on. I got it here somewhere. Where's the...
The blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Will someone shut that man up? Never! Never!
Abdul Hakim Shabazz.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Schlegel, thank you very much. Abdul Hakim Shabazz, radio, political commentator, talking head, media guru, in for my good friend, Mr. Sozi, who was on assignment. He called me this week and said, hey, can you fill in and do film sociology? I told him, dude, it would be my pleasure to talk to the good folks at WFYI.org and HD2 Radio. And since I didn't want to be a total media hog and hog it all for myself... Even though I could, if I wanted to, but I tell my therapist I try to share, just a little bit more. So I invited two good friends, one good friend, one good brother, literally my brother, in studio. My brother, Jamil Shabazz, owner of NetWeb One and Internet Computer Genius. Hey, dude.
Hey, how you doing?
And my good buddy, Mike Costello, from Downtown Comics, serving all of your comic needs here in the Indianapolis metropolitan area.
Hello. Mike. Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Actually, I think the last time, Mike, you and I were on the air together was like Comic Book Day, back when you used to do the old radio show.
Yes, it's been a year and a half.
About a year and a half and some change.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Oh, which, by the way, the old radio station's it's flipping. It's becoming CBS Sports. So.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because that's what Indianapolis needs.
Maybe you'd get back on there.
Another sports radio station, but hey, exactly. That's neither here nor there. So lots of stuff to talk about. Obviously, you guys know film sociology. We talk movies. And so part of the reason... why I asked Jamil and Mike to come in, and also Mr. Schlegel can participate in this conversation as well. We're spending some time talking about superhero films, because this was a big year for superhero movies. Some were really, really great, i.e. The Avengers. Some were kind of really, like The Amazing Spider-Man.
I liked it. I don't know. I hadn't seen Spider-Man 2 or 3. Saw the original. When was that, like 99 when that first one came
2001,
out?
2001, I think.
Yeah.
2001, 2002.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't really get into Tobey Maguire.
Well, that's your own personal problem to me. It's not that kind of radio show.
See, in my opinion, I kind of liked it too as well. See, the thing about Abdul, when Abdul watches these movies, he reads comic books, so he's following the storyline. Oh, that doesn't match up. No, he's wrong. He didn't get beat that way. No. Ben Parker did not die that way. So Abdul, he's more critiquing the storyline rather than actually enjoying the movie. He's always been that way. You know, that's what Spider-Man Tobey Maguire is like, oh, yeah, it happened like that. Yeah, he did find him in a warehouse. Yeah, he did beat the heck out of him. So Abdul, that's just him, you know.
There was some very good things about Spider-Man. I thought the actor was good.
Look like the guy from Facebook.
Yeah, I just
like,
thought...
Hey, that's a Facebook kid.
Oh, yeah. He had a lean athleticism that I think fit Spider-Man better than Tobey Maguire. I agree. Tobey Maguire was... decent as Spider-Man, but
I will give him credit. He did a much better job of being Spider-Man, the smart aleck.
True.
When he's fighting the villains and doing everything else. Just telling you, move a little bit closer to your microphone. That's all.
Okay. Sorry.
There you go.
Okay.
That's radio hand signals.
Sorry, not an expert. Really not an expert.
It's like you're bringing in a plane from Malaysia there, dude. What are you doing over there?
Fair enough.
Also, quick note before we get off on a tangent here. Matt Soucy, the reason he is not here right now, he is doing a blues symposium at Butler right now. And tonight, tomorrow night, 7:30, Anderson University. Check out the final performances of It's a Wonderful Life, and Matt Soucy is directing.
Oh, cool.
So, this is my brother. It's my brother's favorite films.
Yeah, every Christmas morning. I watch it every Christmas morning for the past, I don't know, 15 years or so. Great.
So you can drive up to Anderson tomorrow and say, hey, it's in Clarence's Bank and it's in Potter's Bank. It's in Goldman Joseph's Bank.
Hey, Billy sells a lot.
So you can do all that and see our good friend Matt Soucy. So, no, we're happy to be here. But first of all, we have to talk about what's playing. You know, that's sort of first and foremost. And the big movie right now, God, can't believe they did this, but they did because somebody said, you know what? 3 days of Lord of the Rings movies just isn't enough. Let's go make another long-ass film about, you know, a hobbit. And so, opening today, runtime of 2 hours and 49 minutes, for those of you who don't have a life that you need to get back anytime soon. Ian McClellan, Martin Freeman, Richard Armitage, Ken Scott, and Graham McTavish. I guess you got to have somebody named McTavish in a hobbit film that only
sure. Yeah.
Makes sense. The Hobbit. Rated PG-13, Bilbo Biggins, Martin Freeman, lives a simple life with his fellow hobbits in the Shire until the wizard Gandalf, Ian McClellan, arrives and convinces him to join him a group of dwarves on a request to reclaim the kingdom of, what was that, Erebor, whatever that is? I can't remember.
It's a dwarven name.
The journey takes Bilbo on a path through treacherous lands, swimming with orcs, goblins, and other dangers, not the least of which is an encounter with Gollum and a simple gold ring that is tied to the fate of Middle-earth in ways Bilbo cannot even fathom.
Shall we take a listen?
Yes, let's take a listen to the preview.
My dear Frodo, you asked me once if I had told you everything there was to know about my adventures. Well, I can honestly say I have told you the truth. I may not have told you all of it.
Bilbo Baggins, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins.
Wait!
Of Bagend.
Bilbo, allow me to introduce Fili, Kili, Oin, Loin, Darlin, Balin,
Biffa, Bofa, Wampa,
Dory, Dory, Ori,
and the leader of our company,
Thorin Oakenshield.
The misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old. The pines were roaring on the high, the winds were moaning like torches blazed with light.
I cannot guarantee his safety.
Understood.
Nor will I be responsible for his fate.
You'll have a tale or two to tell when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
My name is Bilbo Bagginses.
Bagginses? What is a Bagginses? Precious.
What? It's over? Wow. I assume, Mike, the book is a much easier read to go through than the movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem with The Hobbit's going to be it can't sustain three movies unless they just make a bunch of stuff up, because it's only about 270 pages. You know, Jamil, you said your wife was a reader. Mm-hmm. She could flip through that book in about 2 hours. I mean, it's a very breezy. I mean, it's a fun book. That's it. I mean, bunch of dwarves, little guy, hobbit, little guy, go to a mountain, fight a dragon. Well, see, done and done, you know.
See, my wife would take like a book like that, and she would like take The Hobbit and a little like 50 Shades of Grey and kind of like put it together, and she would just she would just read that all.
Well, there is a dungeon.
There's a dungeon.
There's a couple dungeons in Lord of the Rings movies. So
yeah, that's my big takeaway from this is how exactly are they going to sustain three movies unless it's just literally a page by page reenactment of the book. Oh, they walk. And then they walk some more.
Right.
So, isn't that what they do in The Lord of the Rings?
Well, they do, but it is three books, and I'll give them credit. They punctuate the walking with a lot of killing. So, you know, I was a big fan of Lord of the Rings. I know Abdul seemed like
my problem with Lord of the Rings
is not where he wants to hang out.
Well, no, my problem with Lord of the Rings was it seemed like it was an extra, like, 20 minutes too long. It was like, okay, you can do all this, and, like, particularly the last one, Return of the King. I'm like, okay, I get it. He's dead. I get it. Okay, can you die now so I can go home?
You know, if you're not a fan of the books, I can see where the codas would probably be a little bit over.
Oh, look,
overkill.
It's a giant eye. Anybody got some Visine for that thing?
Well, I mean, take movies like, you know, Harry Potter. You know, take movies like, you know, Twilight. You know, of course, there are books first and then, you know, movies thereafter. Like my daughter, she has every Harry Potter known to man. Now, what, Harry Potter's like, what, now 30 now, and he's still playing a 16-year-old in a movie? You know? I'm like, dude, grow up.
No, but the one thing I will say this, when I looked at, I was reading this today, just doing a little bit of research, like, hey, we were talking about The Hobbit, and see, Kobe, this is what really got me, you know, the journey takes Bilbo on the path through treacherous lands with orcs, goblins, and other dangers. Sounds like he's running for the Republican nomination for president.
There you go.
Thank you. Write that for Jay Leno.
Right, exactly.
Front of view.
It's like he's running from 2016. You're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI.org and WFYI HD2. Abdul Hakim Shabazz in for Matthew Sosi. This isn't permanent. Matt Sosi's leading like a
everything will be back to normal next week.
Back to normal next week. Matt's doing like a movie symposium blues thing. Blues symposium thing, which basically means take a disease, a body part, and a fruit, and then you have like your blues jazz name person, like, you know, Rawhead Melon or something like that. You know, Bleeding Gums Kumquat. You know, that's like Blind Mellow Jello. Want my daddy's records. just do that, and that's how you do it. But you can always hear Mr. Sosi, like I said, Fridays 5 o'clock, and also on the Blues House Party on Saturdays at 8. If my members 8 o'clock,
8 o'clock
on regular WFYI. Other thing I want to talk to you gentlemen about is what have you seen lately? You know, anybody been to a movie recently, seen something good, decent, or could you eat a roll of film and vomited a better picture?
Paranormal Activity 4.
What? Why?
My daughter, every birthday in October, we go see 1, 2, 3, 4, and this was the most...
Which one?
Ridiculous.
Which, which daughter?
Kyla.
Wow, well, I'm going to talk to that girl. Supposed to be the smart one out the bunch.
Yeah. Every year, because the birthday's in October. So okay. In October, October 24th. And so every year, Paranormal Activity comes out in...
I guess it's better than Saw, right?
October, right?
Yeah. Every year. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, why is that? Someone always getting dragged. You know, I mean, this girl has been gone forever. She's coming back. You know, the kid is, like, totally different. I mean, come on now. There's some things you just...
And the camera shakes,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, oh, what was that?
You know, exactly.
What was that?
You know, mom flaps to the ceiling and then she's gone. And my daughter's like, I can handle it, Dad. I'm like, yeah, okay. Sure you can. And the minute something scary happens, oh, Dad, hold me. I'm like, wait a minute. You can handle it now, right? You know, so it's just, I think those movies are, I mean, for a minute there, I was kind of believing. I was like, man, that's really happening. And just on 1 and 2.
Right.
I got smart on 3. It's a nah. Nah, this can't be.
I just,
how about you, Mike?
James Bond. Saw
Skyfall.
Skyfall. Yep.
What do you think?
It was good, but I'm not sure where they got the greatest Bond ever that everyone seems to be giving it.
And people were jumping on that bandwagon before it came out.
Yeah.
Like, people seeing screeners and whatnot and coming out in the press and, oh, it's the best Bond movie, quite possibly the best Bond movie ever, this and that. It's like...
I would say it's probably the best of the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. But
no. Casino Royale. Casino Royale by far. By far is the best, is the best one. Yeah.
Do tell.
Just from a pacing standpoint, I think it's constant. I mean, the problem with Skyfall was it was kind of – it was well shot, great cinematography, good setup, but boring and you know, just kind of slow, you know, like kind of plodding along and everything like that, where Casino Royale moves. It just –
Until the very end of Casino Royale, when he finally says, "Who are you?" And he's got the gun, the machine gun.
But that's James Bond. But that is a killer scene. I mean, he doesn't say it till then. I mean, I think from the opening, the black and white opening, to the end where he holds the gun and he says his name for the first time, I think that movie just works on almost every level.
We saw Skyfall. We liked it. Like I said, the best Bond movie ever made. I'm not willing to go that far.
Right.
For me, it's more of a Goldfinger. Surely don't expect me to talk. No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Yeah. No, yeah,
we'll
send
another agent. Well, I hope he fares better than you did. That's the other part of the line that no one ever seems to get. No, so saw Skyfall and also saw Lincoln.
How was it?
You can go and talk about Lincoln. We're going to go see it tomorrow, actually.
Oh, I mean,
I'm
not going to spoil it for you. He dies at the end.
The Civil War North wins, I think.
I hate to be the bad guy here, but he gets shot in the head. That's how they do it. No, actually, Lincoln was really, really good. And anybody, and folks who know me from all my political stuff I do here in town and, you know, newspaper, Channel 6, and other publications, knows I'm a big political creature. I mean, it's about Lincoln, but it's really more about the politics of his day and how they got the 13th Amendment passed to deal with the whole slavery issue, just all the stuff that they do. And Sally Field plays a great, crazy Mary Todd Lincoln.
Okay.
It's like Forrest Gump's mother. It's like, wow. Except now she really is Forrest Gump's mother's age.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, really.
You know, so dude, and Tommy Lee Jones is awesome.
You know what? A movie I forgot to mention was Flight. Mm. We went to go see Flight. And, you know, in the previews, you're like, you're taking for a whole nother direction.
This is a movie about a plane.
You see the plane flying upside down, and you know, you're like, wow, Denzel's back in action.
Right.
Hold that thought. I got some new responses. This one from you.
But it actually looks pretty interesting.
Yes.
From a preview perspective.
There you go.
No,
talking about Flight. There we go.
Yeah. So it was like, you know, you see, look at the previews and everything. And you see the plane upside down. Like, man, like, honey, we gotta go see that. Denzel's back. He's back. And then we get to the movies. It's about a drunk.
That's right.
I'm like, okay, I understand the message.
Do you feel
bait
and switched?
Yeah, I do.
Do you feel like you booked tickets for first class, but you got coached?
I feel bamboozled.
Hornswoggled.
Run amok. You know, I'm saying to myself, we really paid $10 to see this? You know?
Yeah, the trailer really didn't.
Yeah, it didn't justify the movie.
Yeah, my wife went to go see Flight. I was like, old spider sense is tingling on this one. Get back to the Spider-Man reference. It's like, I'm not totally sure. And now you just justify it.
Yeah, don't waste your money.
My movie sense. You're listening to Film Sociology. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz here on WFYI.org and WFYI HD2. Matt Sosie, not in today. Filling in for Matt. With me, my brother Jamil Shabazz, computer technical genius, and my good buddy Mike Costello, one of the proprietors of Downtown Comics. Three locations in Indianapolis serving all your comic book needs.
Every day.
Which, by the way, I got to get in and buy a new calendar from you guys because it's that time.
They're actually free, so you can come in and get a free calendar.
Oh, no, I need the bigger calendars.
Oh, the
bigger
calendars.
Small one looks like comic books.
Okay.
That one goes like in the bathroom. No, I just need like the real one.
Okay.
You need a calendar
free one goes
in
the bathroom.
Have you seen my schedule? I had a legislature coming up in January. I had a new governor, 79 new people to break in. I had a government to run. I need a calendar in
big
there.
Big calendar.
So we're going to take ourselves a quick little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about superhero movies. We're going to have the guy in from the comic book store, unless You talk about super movies, Avengers, Captain America, Iron Man, Pie.
Superman. Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Stop following the book.
Old spider sense is tingling again on this one. You're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI.org and WFYI HD2.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I could do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Yeah, trip to the video store. I know they still existed. Hey, it's Abdul Hakim Shabazz in for Matthew Sosa. You're listening to Film Sociology here on WFYI.org and WFYI HD2. Matt Sosa, Matt doing a blues symposium, so he's leading the audience in discussion about some dead black people. so I am here today.
I want my dad record.
Well, died of heroin overdoses, so let's all be perfectly clear, and blind and penniless, because that's the blue story. In studio with us, of course, obviously, good Mr. Kobe Slagle, who's manning the helm. My brother, Jamil Shabazz, owner of NetWeb One, and also movie film buff guru. Jamil, good to have you here.
Thank you.
And my good buddy, Mike Costello, from Downtown Comics here in Indianapolis. Mike, thanks for hanging out.
No problem. Thank you.
Now, before we get to the superhero movie stuff, which we will do, we have to talk about the Matt Sosa feature, What's Out on DVD, New and Old. And the first movie that is actually out on DVD is Ted, the movie about the talking teddy bear creature thing.
From creator of Family Guy, American Dad.
Seth MacFarlane.
Awesome. Anybody see it?
Awesome.
I haven't seen it, but I want to see it.
It has been said that magic vanished from our world a long time ago. But if there's one thing you can be sure of...
I wish you could really talk to me.
It's that nothing is more powerful than a young boy's wish.
You're my best friend, John. I love you.
But eventually, everyone grows up.
I've taken Laurie to dinner. You don't think she's going to be expecting something big, do you?
It's been 4 years, Johnny. You and me have been together for 27 years. Where's my ring? Huh? Where's my ring?
Put it on my fuzzy finger. Where's my ring? Hey, come on.
Knock it off.
All right, I'm just saying.
Man. That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
John.
Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Ted to move out so we can move on with our lives.
I'm not that psyched to just, like, kick him out.
Laurie, hey, you're home early.
Who are these girls?
Oh, my God, where are my manners? Laurie, this is Angelique, Heavenly, Shireen, and Sauvignon Blanc. I swear to God, her name is Sauvignon Blanc. Show her your Chevron card.
Ted, you gotta move out.
Now, I'll help you get on your feet out there, I promise.
Bring it in, you bastard. Come on.
I love you.
Sorry, that's the thing.
The old...
Yeah.
I met a girl.
Nice.
She's a cashier.
You know what I like to do to her? Something I call a dirty fuzzy.
Here, not looking up your towel, swear to God, not looking at your funny business.
Sometimes I think back to that Christmas morning when I was 8 years old. I wish I'd just gotten a Teddy Ruxpin.
No! How
you like me now?
How
you like me now? How you like me now?
Why are you crying? My junk gets squished by the TV. I look stupid.
No, you don't. You look dapper.
John, I look like something you give to your kid when you tell him grandma died.
So that's Ted out on DVD this week. Well, you said you really want to see that.
Yeah, I do. I like the name of the girls, and I want
to. You said date half of them.
Yeah,
you got
well, you know, hey, might be some familiar names in that mix.
Shaniqua, Aquanetta, you know. Just picture any Eli Lilly drug and give it a name, and there you go. But you also said, Mike, that Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, he does the voiceover. I mean, he's in the Seth MacFarlane camp, I guess, because does the Family Guy and American Dad stuff. So yeah, he does the voiceover at the beginning, and it's very, you know, English accent, very serious. But it's probably the funniest bit in the whole movie if you just listen to it. It just, you know, you start laughing then, and you pretty much don't stop. So
okay, so I'll definitely look out for this one on HBO.
Yeah,
now that was a good movie.
Watch it in front of your kids, no matter how much your kids want to see it.
Daddy, it's a teddy bear.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's not.
No, not in any way.
Also out this week on DVD, Bourne Legacy, another one of those. Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy.
Only not with Matt Damon.
Only not with Matt Damon. So can I call it the Stillborn Legacy? Well, I'm just asking a question. I mean, I get it. I got the first one, but then I look like, okay, are we done now? I mean, has anybody figured out who this guy is?
No,
they haven't.
Now you look at him and I think about Hawkeye of the Avengers. I mean, I just can't get into... You know, with the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Supremacy, you know, Jason Bourne, and I'm just Bourne out.
So how about we adopt something, you know? How about we go that route? Oh, then also, for anybody who's got kids, Ice Age Continental Drift. Mm. So, there you go. Now, I like the first Ice Age. I thought it was really good. The second one, I'm like, okay, maybe they'll just build it, and it's just like,
No, that franchise, the quality certainly has gone down.
Yeah, when the funniest part is the little squirrel trying to crack the acorn... That's about it.
Yeah, that's one of the few that's the quality's gone down. Not
it's dumb.
So that's what's new on DVD. Old movies out on DVD. Okay, now, Colby, you have like Dick Tracy written on here. So which
correction? Matt Sosi has Dick Tracy written. Okay, on
so here's my question. Which
that's what I'm looking up.
Okay,
right now.
Are we talking about the 1989 Warren Beatty Madonna?
I think it's old serials.
Or this is like old serial Dick Tracy.
I think, if I remember correctly.
Or is it cartoon Dick Tracy? Because there was actually a Dick Tracy cartoon back in the late 1960s.
Really?
Yep. Where it actually looked like the Dick Tracy comic strip. And so he had all the characters, you know, prune face, flat top.
I did not know
that. And they kind of flew around in these garbage cans. No, that's what they did.
You're really selling it.
No, seriously. No, they flew around like these garbage can bucket things. And here's why I know this is going to sound really bad. Sunday night, had some time to kill, so just started going on YouTube and just kind of playing around and started looking up old cartoons, like Sid Marty Krofft Puppet, like Land of the Lost and Electro Woman and Dinah Girl. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. Really bad stuff. Wow. I was like, oh, I want to have the old Dick Tracy cartoon. And there it was, where they'd fly around and these garbage can things that they'd hold on the side. I'm not making this up.
I how could you?
You're looking at me like Doug looks at me in the store. It's like, no, I'm not... I'm telling you the truth.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so Kobe's finding out. Also, old out on DVD, Les Mis, the non-musical version. Liam Neeson, Jeffrey Rush, Uma Thurman, and Chloe Daniel, or Davies, or whoever. I can't read Sosie's handwriting half the time. And I'm assuming this is the original Blue Lagoon. Or did he? Doesn't he like write this stuff down before he runs off to go talk about dead blues people who died of heroin overdoses? You think he would? Oh, and also, by the way, Matt Sosie's directing.
If it's old titles, I'm gonna go ahead and say it's the. Is it the 1949 or the 1980? I don't know.
The 1980 was much more fun to watch than the 1949. That was one of those movies that our parents wouldn't let us watch.
Yeah, it's controversial.
Yeah. It's like Blue Lagoon, it's like Excalibur. No, you can't watch that because it's like naked people on horses and swords.
Exactly.
Are you kidding? That's the best part. Yeah. So that's what's out on DVD. Like I said, Ted, Bourne Legacy, Ice Age, Continental Drift, Les Mis, a non-musical version. Actually, looking forward to seeing Les Mis, a musical version. With Hugh Jackman, Wolverine.
Really? Yeah, I want to hear him sing. He's supposedly pretty good.
No, actually he is. He's got like a Broadway
Tony thing.
Tony background going on. And actually he hosted the Oscars a couple years ago. And when he did the opening number, it was like all big song and dance with the movies like The Wrestler and There Will Be Blood. And he did this. Actually, it was really, really good.
It's right.
Like, hey, I can watch this. And actually, I think next year there's a new Wolverine movie.
Yes.
Looks.
Yep.
2013, The Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where he's like in Japan.
Yes.
What about the rest of the X-Men?
Actually, they are making another X-Men movie.
Yeah, 2015? 2014.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah, 2014 for an X-Men.
I wonder how that's going to work, because the storyline in the X-Men is just totally off now, you know, the way it is.
Well, they rebooted, so...
They did and they didn't, because the way they set it in the 60s... Everything is still the first three movies from earlier in this decade or 10 years ago. They were set in the now. The one that came out last year, that was set in the 1960s. So those characters Magneto and Xavier from that movie do grow up into the Xavier and Magneto
What was the one that
past
was out
films.
Last year?
So what they're doing with this one
first
is
class. The one that was out last year was X-Men First Class.
Yeah, that was First Class. So what they're going to do with Days of Future Past, they're going to do the time travel thing. So the young Xavier and Magneto are actually going to meet their older Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen counterparts. They've already signed them all up. And then Wolverine doesn't age.
Right.
So he showed up in First Class looking the same as he does in the ones 10 years ago because he doesn't age.
Right,
so.
But my issue with that is, isn't Havoc and Scott Summers brothers?
Yes, in the comics they are brothers, but you could separate that out and say that Havoc's just an older brother and Cyclops or Scott hasn't been born yet until, 10 years or 20 years later or whatever. So you could certainly mess around with that.
Yeah, you can mess around with that one. The one thing I want to see is, in the original Days of Future Past comic book, X-Men 141 and 142,
yes.
Just to get in touch with my total complete.
Way to go, trivia.
In a dorkdom. I'll take Paul Linda Block for Center Square. It's Kitty Pryde who gets switched in time.
Yes.
And it kind of goes back and forth. So the question is, how do they... It'll be interesting how they make the switch, and do they just assume that, you're normal people, you have no idea what we're talking about, so we can, make the storyline whatever we want, and if you're a dork like Abdul, you'll just sit there and like, no, that's not right, but you'll shut up and pay your $10.
Right. I think as long as there's Sentinels, Abdul, you'll probably be happy. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think the Kitty Pryde thing.
But I don't want that X-Men 3 Sentinels, where all it is just a head.
No, I think you're going to get full-blown robots.
Yeah, I want giant robots, that actually send a little tentacles out their arms in the gas thing.
I'm sorry. You know what would be a good remake? You said giant robot?
Johnny Sacco and his flying robot.
I know where I'm going with this. Johnny Sacco. How about Ultraman? Oh man, those are.
Well, have you seen the trailer for Pacific Rim? That's coming out next summer. Well, there's your Ultraman right there. I mean, it's big giant robots versus big giant monsters.
Interesting.
Yeah, what? and that's going to set the bar pretty. Yeah, that's going to set the bar pretty high for, like I said, the Sentinels.
Yeah,
to look at that.
And it's funny because I was on Fandango's like it's coming soon. I saw Pacific Rim. Like, okay, what exactly is?
Yeah, it's basically giant Godzilla monsters, and then we can't stop them. There's more than one, and so we build
Voltron.
Giant. Yeah, Voltron, Ultraman robots, and these guys get in them and pilot them, and then they just duke it out.
But do they separate into five lions or a bunch of cars,
planes, there's more that each country has their own, I guess. So there's like a Russian one, and there's an American one, there's a Japanese one.
And how come together?
There's a whole backstory. I mean, you go online. There's blueprints of these things.
You know what this is? Do you remember? You guys are probably too young to remember this, but Mike, you should. Remember?
He's saying I'm old.
No, I'm just saying we're the same age. We're like fine line. Just get better with experience. Yeah, that and put a cork in it. There was like these series of like these like Red Ronin giant robot creature toy things a long time ago. That's what this reminds me of.
That's exactly, yes. It's Ultraman, like you said, which is more of a guy, but combined with the Red Ronin, which were the robots that,
they
fired out the round plastic discs.
Yeah.
Yep, those were awesome. Yep. The head came off.
The head came off.
Escape pod. Yep. Awesome.
So you see, Kobe, while you're out there playing Madden on your phone,
that's right.
We're out there living.
That's right.
Just want to make that perfectly clear. You listen to Film Sociology on WFYI.org and WFYIHD2. Abdul Hakim Shabazz in for Matt Sosi. Matt is out leading a blues seminar somewhere.
Symposium. And this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, 7:30, Anderson University.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yep.
Matt Sosi's directing. It's a great movie about a bank and Jimmy Stewart and Potter. Hey, he's not even crippled. Get up. Let's fight. It's the old Dana Carvey bit from Saturday Night Live. John Lovett plays old man Potter, and he throws him out of the chair, and he stands up. Hey, you're not even crippled. Everybody starts beating the crap out of him. Hey, I have a mind full of trivial information. I'm not just a pretty face and a great voice, you know.
Or the Nubian prince.
Or the Nubian prince. Tell you what, how about we go ahead, take our break, because when we come back, I want to make sure we have our superhero conversation totally, completely uninterrupted, because there's some superhero movies that should be made, i.e. the Avengers, and some movies that should not be made, like Superman 3. You're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI.
Gail Kim, and you're listening to Film Sociology.
And you're listening to Abdul Hakim Shabazz, who is in for Matthew Sosi here on WFYI.org and WFYI HD2. In studio with me, my brother, Jamil Shabazz, owner of NetWeb One, and also media mogul in his own right. Jamil, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And my good buddy, Mike Costello, Downtown Comics, a place where I don't need a crack house. I've got Downtown Comics to spend.
Thank you for tying that visualization.
No, but you know what? I do recommend people use Downtown Comics for like their boyfriends or husbands. Don't you guys get a lot of people coming in this time of year who are looking for stuff for their significant others?
Yes, and that does.
And they don't know what they're looking for.
Exactly, and that is the fun game where they come in. I'm looking for that book with that guy that does this thing, and that's a good game for me. I like to play that game. Like, is it Superman? Oh yeah, how did you know that? I don't know.
See, what I do is I go in and I tell the guys, okay, here's my wife's going to be in here in about a week or so. Here's what I want for Christmas. So I just kind of point it out ahead of time. Of course, the one time she bought, there's this book called Infinite Crisis. It was like a DC Comics total like cleansing of all their universes that comic book companies do like every 10 years. and it's like $150, and it's like 8 inches thick, like a phone book. And so my wife goes in like, what does Abdul want for Christmas? Well, he's got this book, Infinite Crisis. She went like, what the beep, 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 beep. Mother, beep, he can kiss my black feminine tattooed beep. Well, not tattooed, but
right.
You know what I'm talking about. So speaking of superheroes, this is, once again, the perfect segue. Superman, can you find the Man of Steel clip?
I'm on it.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to? Okay, you want a clip?
Yeah. Superman is being remade, coming out this summer. I am now, as my brother Jamil will tell you, I'm the biggest Superman fan in the entire universe. I mean, back when I was my FM disc jockey days, my little thing was, you know, do the weather. It's 60 degrees here, 20 degrees here, and here at the Fortress of Solitude, it's a balmy 55. Yeah, there'd be a whole lot of that.
That's right.
You know, got the Superman tattoo. Of course, yep. After I got it, I realized black people getting tattoos is kind of like skywriting at night. But, hey, you know, it is what it was back in 2000. So, I was excited when the first Superman, when they redid the franchise, I was excited for about 30 minutes. And then after the scene where he saves a plane and Lois Lane and,
I remember it.
Statistically speaking, it's still the safest way to fly. Yeah. And she passes out. Then it just sucked after that. So when I saw the previews for what's coming up next, I was like, once bitten, twice shy. Let's play the clip.
World's too big, Mom.
Then make it small. Focus on my voice. Pretend it's an island out in the ocean. Can you see it?
I see it.
My son was in the bus. He saw what Clark did.
You have to keep this side of yourself a secret.
What was I supposed to do? Just let him die?
Maybe.
I have so many questions. Where do I come from?
Have to decide what kind of man you want to grow up to be, Clark. Whoever that man is, he's going to change the world.
Whatever happened to General? Would you care to step outside? Superman. Oh, Superman, thank God. I mean, get him! Come to me, son of Jor-El! Kneel before Zod! That's a Superman movie.
Yeah.
Never thought this thing would go the distance. Hi! You see the White House. They'll be cleaning for months.
Yeah, Superman 2 was definitely the best Superman movie, in my opinion.
It's just a question of, you know, what you want a Superman movie to be, and I want it to be an action-adventure movie. I want it to be fun and exciting and stuff. Now, it doesn't have to be camp. I think movie studios get that mixed up. They're like, well, if it's fun and stuff, it's camp. No, you'd still play it real and not be camp. I mean, obviously...
The Avengers proved that you can have a good movie with a lot of action and funny lines in between and enough seriousness and do very, very well.
Yeah, exactly.
I am a god.
You will not touch me! Yeah, what are you? What are you without that suit? What are you? I don't know, Bill, you're a playboy genius.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and
welcome to that guy. You know what? You know what I'm gonna miss? hey, man, that's a bad outfit.
Oh, yeah, the most offensive part of Superman 2. Now, our brother, who you've never met, is all conspiratorial, and we think he's crazy. So he's all Nation of Islam, bean pie, out there 30th and Keystone, selling incense and whatever.
Sure.
So we try not to pay him too much attention.
Right.
However, that one part in the first Superman movie where, you know, Lois Lane is on the helicopter and she's about to fall down and Clark Kent runs over and looks at the phone booth.
Exactly.
And
yep.
Yeah, whatever. Goes and turns around and there's the pimp. And the pimp will be like, say, Jim, that's a bad outfit. Really?
Well, let's...
Does Jesse Jackson know about this? That's when Jesse was so cool.
We're going to put that squarely as a 70s
motif.
I bet
you Jesse bought a ticket. They went down at a protest and came out with receipts.
Yeah, came out with free tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just put that as the time it was made, yeah. I guess. So.
So, but yeah, but no, but that's my thing is, I want my Superman to be, you know, powerful. I don't want the last temptation of Christ.
Yeah, it just the trailer feels heavy to me, you know. And not to say it's not going to be a good movie, because obviously I'm going to go see it. But yeah, it's just I'm not sure that all the great Marvel movies, the people at another company that are making Superman were really watching.
Yeah, it's like no, this is what works.
They're watching Batman and going, well, Batman was heavy.
Batman's supposed to be heavy because he's all. Rat with wings.
Exactly.
Parents got shot. You know, yeah.
Batman's more of a gadget man, you know. So, I mean, he had to have something new, something different, you know, with the flying tank and, you know, the turning wheel motorcycle. I mean, Batman, that was Batman. The utility belt, I mean, I was wondering a long time ago, man, how much can a utility belt really hold?
Infinite.
The bat anti-shark spray.
Oh, yeah.
it's whatever
like,
needed.
I was like, dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the old Batman movie is like, yeah, bat shark repellent, like on a helicopter.
he is the ultimate prepared man.
That's what got to be. Then he's beating the shark on his foot.
That's right. Yeah.
See, Kobe.
See, that was camp, though.
Yeah.
But
that's what it was supposed to be.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I will say this: a couple other superhero movies that I like, of course, loved the Avengers.
Sure.
That it was. Perfect, great. One of my favorite lines from Nick Fury. Turn us toward the water. Which way is east, sir? Did the sun come up this morning in the west? Then make it left.
You know, the only thing about the Avengers, at first, I have to, well, let's go back to Captain America. Okay, because, of course, that was the Avengers. I was trying to, I didn't know if I was going to accept Chris Evans.
The Human Torch?
Going to Human Torch.
Right.
To Steve Rogers. You know, I was like, Johnny Storm, Steve Rogers. I was just... Yeah, but it worked out, though.
No, it was risky, totally risky. And that was my big – Captain America is my favorite hero. And so that was my biggest concern was, can he pull this off? And
took about, big, giant, stiff shirt.
Took about 3 minutes of him as a little scrawny, you know, dude to say, wow, he can pull this off. So awesome.
I got all day.
That's right.
Yeah, so no, the Avengers are like – Dark Knight was fine. I thought they could have – Dark Knight Returns or Rises or whatever that was supposed to be. Thought it was fine. They could have cut off maybe about, like, yeah, about 20 minutes out of it.
Here's the thing with The Dark Knight, my opinion. The Dark Knight. Now, at the very end of The Dark Knight.
Just because we're talking about Dark Knight Rises, not the...
Yes.
Right, Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. Right, sorry, Dark Knight Rises. At the very end, they show Alfred sitting at a cappuccino outside bar of some sort, cafe. Yeah. And, of course, there's a glimpse of Bruce Wayne. Now... I was having a debate with a buddy of mine. He was like, no, man, he's not dead. He really survived. I said, no, dude, he's gone. He blew up in an explosion. What's your opinion?
Bruce Wayne is alive because you got to remember early on in the movie, you know, Alfred, you know, Michael Caine goes to that speech, says, one day, sir, I'm going to see you at a cafe and we'll just exchange a glimpse with each other and then that'll be it. Now, no, you'll be okay.
I mean, you've got quite the range of British accents.
Yeah, thank you. Honestly, John. I mean, yeah. I mean, so that was where that tied into. That's why I said, okay, he's alive.
Yeah, they gave you the little autopilot, little bait right there at the end, also talking about how the autopilot had been fixed on the jet or the bat jet or whatever. It doesn't make any sense, but yes, as a coda, he is in fact alive. I think everyone's going Inception with this, you know, just because, you know, and it's not. It's just like he knew where Alfred would be, and he wanted to make sure Alfred knew that he lived.
Gotcha.
So he showed up there to give him that glimpse, and then they could go off. So Alfred didn't know he was alive.
Yeah,
but, and everything's wrapped up nicely.
Yeah,
yeah. Then the then on. What's his face? Who's what's your real name? Robin.
Yeah.
Get the basement in the cave. Yeah. My name's gonna be Nightwing. Yeah. Oh, look at me. Yeah. Sure, whatever.
That was a friend coworker was on. He saw Batman Rises or Dark Knight Rises the day it came out, and he was on the show that that episode, and he was talking about a big thing for him was how does Bruce Wayne the Wayne Industries goes under. He's forced out. How does Bruce Wayne manage to get from the farthest remote corners of the globe, seemingly without resource, without any money, without any contact, nothing, back to Gotham City?
For the same reason they didn't let Tim Durham out on bail while he was waiting trial. He's got money hidden in other places.
Well, I mean, that would be the main problem with the movie is you can't really – the plot is so thinly – veil to make things go the way they go that really looking into it, yeah, does it a disservice. You just kind of have to gloss over those things, unfortunately. I mean,
you think they're done with this series of Batman, or do you think there's going to be a
10 years later?
If the rumors are true, just like Superman, Spider-Man. The new Superman will have some sort of lead in to a Justice League movie, which will be coming out in 2015.
Wow!
And if that's the case, they will hopefully recast Batman for that movie and then spin him off into a movie after the fact. So.
Now, but here's a question, though. Will this be like a real Justice League, or will this be like that cheesy 1970s Justice League?
Again, we can only hope for the best.
Kobe, dude, you got to get on YouTube.
Pray it's not the worst.
Yeah, just take one day and just kind of look around at some of this stuff.
Yeah, there
was
a TV pilot for a Justice League. You can Google that, too, I'm sure.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm looking here, IMDb Justice League 2015.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Except this one had like Hawkman, Shazam,
Martian Manhunter.
Yep. And also had the original Adam West and Bird Ward as Batman and Robin. And Frank Gorshin as the Riddler.
I'm talking about the one they made in the 90s. There was actually a pilot for a Justice League TV show, actually.
Yes. Oh, I mean, if you talk about the Justice League, you know, animated series.
No. An actual live action pilot. It had David Ogden Steers, I believe, as Martian Manhunter.
Major Winchester?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the pilot was filmed. I think you can actually get it on YouTube. I'm not sure. But,
oh, wow.
Winchester?
I think it was bad. Yes, I'm not kidding. Yeah.
Wow.
Looking at your storyline, Justice League 2015, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and The Flash, other superheroes unite to fight against evil forces. Are we going to have Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern again in this?
I hope so.
Why?
Why?
Well, one, I thought he was an
Do
okay
Green... Do I need to start chopping at Comic Carnival now?
The problem with the Green Lantern movie was not Ryan Reynolds. He did fine, I thought. It was the whole script. It wasn't him as Green Lantern. I thought he did fine. And if you recast Green Lantern, I think there's some. I think they should just keep him. You know, you can forget about the movie, but I thought
forget
he'd be
okay Parallax,
as Green
forget
Arrow,
about Sinestro,
Green Lantern,
forget about the
say.
Guardians of the Universe, and just the...
Yeah, I thought Sinestro and Green Lantern were fine in that movie. If the movie would have just been about them, you have a good movie. It was all the other stuff they tried. You know, Hector Hammond was bad. You know, the girl, the love interest wasn't interesting at all. You know.
No, okay, I will give you that. I guess what made the movie more annoying was what made Ryan Reynolds more annoying was probably all the stuff around him. It just sort of magnified it.
Right.
I guess we took that out of it. He was kind of that Hal Jordan smart aleck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the unfortunate part is even reading him in the comics, I don't get a true sense of Hal Jordan as a character, you know, how to play him.
Not now.
So he's just a tough – I think he's a tough, you know, nut to crack in terms of characterization, I guess. So I just thought he did fine.
You're listening to Film Sociology on WFYI.org and WFYI HD2. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz in for Matthew Soucy. Matt, tied up this evening. Not literally doing 50 Shades of Grey tied up, but trying to get that image out of my head. In studio with us, of course, the wonderful Mr. Kobe Slagle. Also, my brother, Jamil Shabazz, and Mike Costello, Downtown Comics, talking superhero movies. Okay, gentlemen, not so much this year, but I'll let you pick from time immemorial to today. The superhero movie that should not have been made.
Did we need a Daredevil movie? Did anybody see Daredevil?
Yes.
Yes. And actually, you'll appreciate this. I saw Daredevil while I was in St. Louis studying for the bar exam. because I needed a break.
Ironic.
Yeah. So I went to go see Daredevil at the movie theater, and a bunch of friends wanted to go with me. It's like, you know, I don't...
Yeah,
okay.
I saw it in the theater, and it was pretty bad. Now, if anyone ever rents the director's cut on video, it's actually not a bad movie. Because they literally cut out 30 to 40 minutes of that film. I mean,
really?
In the theater, it was only about 80 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like an hour and 45 minutes, hour and 45 minutes. The actual film's about 2 hours and 10. It adds in a whole Kingpin subplot that makes a lot of stuff in the movie make sense. It's not bad. I mean, Ben Affleck is not athletic, but Jennifer Garner was a good Elektra. I thought Bullseye was psycho enough.
Yeah.
I mean, there's much worse. Batman and Robin. Oh, my God.
Just not going to let that
oh
go,
my God.
You?
No, I'd like to destroy the original print so it can never be seen again.
In my opinion, this Catwoman was
the
terrible.
The Halle Berry Catwoman?
Oh, Halle Berry Catwoman.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
My wife has given me permission to leave her for Halle Berry, but Catwoman is like, no, that's like you dating Dave Justice. I'm sorry. I can never forgive you for this.
Yeah, it is a low point. And I will say that the Elektra spinoff movie that Jennifer Garner did, although I love Jennifer Garner's Elektra, that Elektra movie was horrible.
Yes, it was.
Unwatchable.
Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of it.
Unwatchable.
Like, no, not so much.
It should be easy, right? Ninjas, hot chick in a ninja outfit. How can you mess that up?
See, folks, we're not all total. Not every superhero movie needs to be made. Some of them are actually really, really bad and should never have seen the light of day. For example, the first Incredible Hulk movie.
Oh, the
The Ang Lee version.
Ang Lee version, okay. Yes.
It was really annoying. I couldn't quite, like, what the heck is...
Mr. Soucy is pro-Hulk Ang Lee.
No.
Mr. Soucy's on crack.
Yeah.
Mr. Soucy ain't here. I'm running this. Hey! Joe Braxton! Now, yeah, the first Hulk, the second one was a whole 8 million different worlds.
Yeah,
because
it was a superhero movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, the only good part about the first Incredible Hulk movie is when the Hulk kills Glenn Talbot. That was it. When he's like running through the.
Yeah, the movie's out of my brain. I've washed it clean. It's
Eric Bana.
Yeah, Eric Bana. Yeah, who played the evil Romulan in the first Star Trek reboot movie.
Yes.
Which, by the way, actually I thought was pretty good.
Yes.
The Star Trek. Oh, it was great.
Oh yes,
it was great. Yeah.
So, give him credit for that. You listen to Film Sociology here on WFYI. Like I said, talking movies and films. Gentlemen, as we get ready to wrap up here, we've got a few minutes left. I have to ask you, since we're all very happily married men, except for Mr. Slago, who's very happily engaged.
Yes.
I must ask, what is the movie that you dread most that your wife will probably drag you to?
Well, she bought it on DVD. And
oh,
I dread
you're
it.
Sunk then.
Yes. What's the Steve Harvey book?
Think Like a Man?
Think Like a Man. Oh, my goodness. Throughout the entire movie, she'll see a man doing something crazy, and she said, you better not ever do that to me. I'm going to tell you something. You ever do that to me, I'm going to get you. I'm like, well, honey, we're watching a movie. What is this got to do?
That kind of sounds like a bit. Is that a bit?
okay. So anything in that spectrum.
That puts stuff in their heads?
Yes.
My wife actually is not a big movie goer like I am. She will not go to see, I can't drag her to go see my movies. And so I want to drag her to go see This Is 40 because I've seen the trailers and I want to go to her and go, that's you. So I kind of want to get her to that. But
Kobe, what do you get dragged to?
Well, I was able to successfully avoid Anna Karenina. And nothing. That's the latest thing.
Well, you see, in the Shabazz household, the Abdul Shabazz, A Shabazz, as opposed to J.D. Shabazz household, we have a rule. If my wife picks a bad film, she doesn't get to pick the next three. That is our rule.
That gives her a little pause.
That gives her a little bit of a pause. Like, hey, I need you to think about what you just did. Okay? Yes, we're going to go see.
Okay,
this.
Now this is the thing. This is, so, she... You obviously just determine if she's picked a bad movie.
Yes.
But then how then do you convince her that she has picked a bad movie? Does she admit that she's picked a bad movie, or is it just you?
When I come back the next day and pick her up from the movie theater, that's how when she knows she's picked a bad movie. Paranormal Activity, went to go sit and drag through all that, and a bunch of other stuff. So, yeah. But as we get to wrap up here, wow, it is almost 6 o'clock, man. Sosie was right. Time really does fly by when you're doing film sociology. Yeah, that's going to wrap up the show. Of course, we love our wives. There are better halves, or in my case, you know, better three-fourths. We freely admit that. I want to thank our good buddy, Matt Sosie, for letting us fill in. Mike Costello, Downtown Comics.
Thank you very much
for having me. DowntownComics.com, right?
Yes.
Jamil Shabazz, NetWeb1.com.
.com.
Where people can check us out. And Abdul, IndiePolitics.org, Facebook, Twitter, you know, social media, Google. Watch me on Channel 6 on Monday, Sunday, other days of the week.
So
always happy to have you guys. Don't forget, Matt Sosie, It's a Wonderful Life, Anderson University, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, and the Blues House Party on Saturdays at 8 o'clock. You've been listening to Film Sociology. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz, thank you, folks, and go catch a good movie. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers. See you soon.